You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson, here for your Minnesota Progressive Repartee on kind of a peculiar weather day. It's been pouring rain, and then just now, calm again. This morning, sunny and beautiful. We're all over the map today. Brett, you didn't bike today, correct?
Oh, heck no. No, not after seeing the forecast. It said 70% chance of rain. Usually when it's below 50, I'll risk it. But not 70.
Yeah, it would have been a terrible day to get caught on the bike today. Yeah. Very vicious. There's been kind of some severe warning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some weather warnings, and very odd. But the other big news of the day is about a fellow oddball, Ross Perot. Ross Perot died today at 89 years old. He died of leukemia, a family spokesperson said, but very sad. He was a colorful, self-made Texas billionaire and one of the most successful third-party presidential candidates, really, of all time. Definitely in modern American history, but a very interesting character, to say the least. And I actually am wearing a pair of Ross Perot for President pins right now that I had from 1992.
We wouldn't be happy with you if Bush had won in 92.
Yeah, and you know what's odd, too, is for some reason, I was 3 years old in 1992, and I, for some reason, liked George Bush when I was a three-year-old.
I did, too, actually.
My mom brought me to a Clinton rally. And for some reason, I was there, and I was chanting four more years for George Bush at this Clinton rally. But we never knew where that came from. My mom would go, oh, yeah, what? Why do you like him? And I go, I don't know. I just like the guy. But
you know what my reason was? I don't know if this might have been a little before your time. You're 3 years younger than me, but he was on a Ninja Turtle special. It was an anti-drug special. It was like the Avengers before they were Avengers. They had all of the cartoon characters on this anti-drug special, and George Bush gave a speech beforehand, and yeah. I'm like, I like that guy. He's promoting the Turtles.
Well, similar. Mine came from something to do with Nickelodeon. That's all I can remember, is there was a little profile of the presidential candidates, and from that profile, three-year-old Hunter liked George Bush, but his son, George W. Bush, is my least favorite president. So, there's that. But Ross Perot, he caused quite a stir in that 92 election. And I wanted to just kind of take a look at the man, go over that 92 race, Ross Perot, the issues he brought forward, a huge critic of NAFTA specifically, and just kind of a oddball in modern American politics.
The only reason I might have voted for him was, yeah, his opposition to NAFTA back then. Obviously, you and I were too young to vote at that point, though.
Yeah, and a lot of his predictions on that did come true, like absolutely true. So he was very on the ball on some of the things he cared about, and he had a few issues that were very important to him and that were kind of laser-focused. But, yeah, Ross Perot, he had no background in politics when he decided to run for president in 1992. He was a IBM businessman, a billionaire. In 92, he had a net worth of around $2 billion, which, that's crazy. And even in that early 90s, billionaires, they were rare. I mean, they are today, too, but at that time, even, it's a very spectacular accomplishment financially. Ross Perot, he was a computer guy. He had he was in the IBM business early, so kind of that boom of personal computing he was a part of. as well as oil money. So those two things, right place, right time, Texas, IBM, and oil, you can't go wrong, really. but, yeah, I never elected to public office. And he, in 1992, he was going on TV a lot. And he used TV for his presidential runs. It was a major part of drawing attention to both the issues and him himself. He was a media manipulator and appeared often on the talk shows of the day, and predominantly Larry King. He made several appearances on and very notable appearances. But at first, I believe it was his fourth appearance on Larry King, he hinted at running for president and made a plea that if people around the country signed petitions that to draft Perot as president, he would run. And that was a tactic to get ballot access, actually. So he got people hyped up, got the signatures required, and then it was all in place so he'd be able to be on the ballot in each of those states. So kind of a brilliant little tactic there out of the box. His supporters, they initially, his early supporters viewed him as an action man who can get things done, who takes care of people. And people in general were upset at George Bush and his going back on his vow of no new taxes and raising taxes. So there was hostility towards George Bush already within the Republican Party and then the American public in general. So we had a kind of a good time for a third party to run in, and specifically someone like Ross Perot, who kind of hard to nail down on the spectrum of right-left. He, I would say, more center-right than left, but when you look at some of the issues and where he stands, I mean, he's a liberal in the classic sense of the word. I mean, he was for raising taxes. We'll take a look more at that in a bit, but a peculiar person, but a perfect time for a third party that could challenge the Republican Party. So the New York Times speculated that Ross Perot had a take-no-prisoners persona, anti-politics politics, and would appeal to angry, frustrated electorate. But Republican consultant Karl Rove characterized Perot as an untested wild man. He rejected any financial donations for more than $5. And he had a...
say that again. Ross Perot rejected any donations over $5?
$5. And he vowed he would personally fund his potential campaign and his campaign. So, yeah, he didn't accept donations more than $5.
That's unbelievable, considering how well he did, not taking a donation over $5, even in 92.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
Bernie Sanders, $27 is, man, that's a 1% money now. That's the rich guy's club. But he spread his message through TV, like I said. He was a master manipulator of messaging on the television. So early on in 92, Perot was leading in presidential polls in certain states, Texas and California notably. And the Bush and Clinton campaigns, they were concerned about his candidacy and wondered if Perot would continue to not play by the rules as he was. And there was a lot of speculation that Ross Perot would split the Electoral College and force the United States House of Representatives to decide the presidency.
Which would have been interesting because I would think Bush would be more concerned about that because at the time, the House always went Democrat.
Yep, the House was Democrat in 92 and switched during the Clinton presidency. But yeah, that would have been quite a spectacle to see, the House deciding the presidency. Something we haven't really ever had in modern American politics. You got to go back to American Revolution time, early Civil War era. But The Ross Perot, he didn't campaign or advertise early on. He didn't purchase advertising. And in the primaries during the 92 run-up, he was written in by 13% of Democrats and 15% of Republicans for their respected primaries. So pretty even support. He wasn't running for either ticket, but got 15% of the vote on both parties. Both parties, too. That is some. Think of that today. Who could be a Democrat and Republican simultaneously with where the parties are? Just that is in and of itself just bizarre.
I got to mention something on the map, too. I was looking at where he got his base of support. It's interesting because most of his support came from the Rocky Mountains, which is very Republican now.
Uh-huh.
But he got his least amount of support in the Southeast, which is also really Republican.
Yeah, so
that's an interesting dynamic right there.
Are you saying the Rocky Mountain, like the Wyoming?
Yeah, it's specifically Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Nevada, Utah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But terrible support in the Southeast, specifically in Mississippi, he got less than 10%, the only state where he got the least amount of support.
And this is like a fairly recent event. I think most people remember Ross Perot, were around for that. It's a majority listening now, probably voted in that election. So just kind of amazing how times have changed even from then. But he, in the exit polls of these primaries, he had a favorability higher than both Clinton and Bush. People walking out of their exit polls for the primary. So both parties, they liked Ross Perot more than their candidates. That I can't get past. Who could do that today? Can you think of anyone who would appeal to both Democrats and Republicans more than Trump and whoever runs on the Democrats?
Here's an interesting nugget to throw in there. If there was ranked choice voting back then, would he have won the presidency?
Oh,
I'm imagining he would have been the second choice of Bush and Clinton voters because Clinton won with a plurality, not a majority.
Yeah, I actually, I have some information on that I'll get to that. A big reason that his vote was the total it was because people saw it as he didn't have a chance of winning, and they didn't want to throw away their vote. And had that not been a kind of general thought, he would have won the election, it says. But I'll have that later. I got to get to that. I can't find it offhand. He had a three-part plan that was his main focus, and it was balancing the budget with a congressional act to limit spending, cut in government waste, and then reforming the existing tax system. And he, the pillar was like a nationalist economic plan, a strong opposition to NAFTA. And what's interesting with his reforming of the tax system is he favored a rise in taxes for the rich, and more so than Bill Clinton did, the Democrat at the time. He wanted a higher tax on the wealthiest Americans, and he was very like firm about these things too, like a pretty absolute. But the campaign was off to like a good start, but it had some hiccups. He got in trouble for some remarks about gay people, as well as to the NAACP, referring to African Americans as "you people," and this kind of just sparred media backlash on Perot. And he, like Trump, a lot of similarities actually between the two, but very different people at the same time. He cared a lot about his image in the media, and that's a big reason that he ended up dropping out of that race, actually, was just to have the media attention off of him, because he did not like being portrayed negatively. So his withdrawal was just like a tactic for temporary relief from the press. And he had that obsessed obsession with his image and how the media was perceiving him. And that dropping out during the presidential race, his claim was that he didn't want the House of Representatives to decide the president. And that was the big reason that he was dropping out. But those closest say it was no, it had to do with how he felt the press was covering him. And people were, they were upset that he left, his supporters. He ultimately ended up coming back into the race in October before the election, and he was never quite able to get back to the same support that he had, because in the summer of 92, he was leading in the polls. He was the front runner, actually, in about three-fourths of all the polls that took place in the summer of 92. When he got back in, though, he was never quite able to get the momentum that he had, and he hovered in the 20% or teens even. But still, third-party candidate, that is a significant amount. We haven't seen anything like that recently. And the debates, though, were where he got his final boost and where he shined. A very memorable debate, and only American presidential debate with three candidates ever. There was one other debate with a third party candidate, but there were still only two candidates at the debate. So Perot, at these debates, he was a very, he stood out, you could say. And in fact, Ross Perot standing was as tall as Bill Clinton and George Bush sitting. So the height of Ross Perot was, he was a short guy. So if you look at images from that debate, him standing is equal to Bill Clinton in a chair and George Bush in a chair. So that immediately shows you he's the underdog of this, even the visual representation there. And the American people responded, though, to his debate coverage and his opposition of NAFTA. He, again, talked about those same kind of issues that he'd been running on. The deficit was huge. He talked about education, drug use. He proclaimed as president he would eliminate the influence of lobbyists. And that's big. I mean, he talked a lot about third-party issues, as well as things like direct electronic democracy, which Mike Gravel, that's also his big thing. If you know about the Gravel gang, he's running for president currently on the Democratic side, former Alaskan senator. But some memorable quotes from that debate. He was asked about his lack of government experience, and he goes, well, they've got a point. I don't have any experience running up $4 trillion in debt. Huge, but the biggest mistake that happened in these debates was not by Ross Perot himself, but his running mate, who appeared very unprepared and entered the debate, opened the night up by asking, who am I? Why am I here? And that kind of became a repeated trope of the campaign, that this, his name's James Stockdale, but that he was just kind of an idiot and unaware of things. And again, negative media just lampooning this campaign. But he ended up finishing third place behind Clinton and Bush and received almost 20 million votes in America, 18.9% of the popular vote. He didn't win any states, but he had a very even distribution around the country. Very, very interesting. And exit polling shows that he pulled pretty equally from Democrats and Republicans, or left-leaning and right-leaning people. George Bush tried to pin him as the spoiler, but research shows that that wasn't really the case. And another bit was that had people had more of a inclination that he could possibly win, they would be more likely to vote for him, and that he would receive up to 37% of the vote had there been a, just idea going around that his becoming president was possible. Because a big reason people didn't vote was the throwing your vote away idea, and just that discouraged a lot of people, and the media, how they covered it, could have been different. Last, before we take a break, what's really interesting is he did something that really no one's done before or after, and bought television infomercials to relay his message. So you can watch them today on YouTube, 30-minute television infomercials that were viewed by about 20 million people. And he did a couple of these, actually, and replayed them because of their popularity, but diving deep into the issues. Kind of an interesting idea that's never been seen since or before. I mean, what do you think of media, or buying infomercials as a candidate, Brett?
I don't even know if you need to do that anymore if you have an organization like Fox News, which will just interview Trump every day.
Mm-hmm. At that time, the 90s,
at that time, yeah.
Probably one of the better ways to get your message across. And today it doesn't make as much sense because we all don't have our eyes in one place. But these were primetime infomercials also.
Especially with no internet? Mm-hmm. I think that would have been a great investment back then. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And that was all his own money. It was hundreds of millions of dollars he spent on this, but all of his own. He ended up dying with a fortune of about $4 billion, so he fared okay. But, he didn't expect more than $5, like we said. But let's take a break. What are your thoughts on Ross Perot dying today, 89 years old? Do you have memories from the 92 or 96 election? Give us a call at 952-946-6205. But we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
An info warrior and ignore everything these Soros puppets say. Hunter, Doug, and Brett spread Obama, globalist, Antifa propaganda. Ignore everything you hear on the Minnesota Progressive Liberty.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding clean starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Sitka Salmon Shares was created 7 years ago for the Midwesterner wanting better seafood. Here's how it works. First, visit sitkasalmonshares.com and enroll in a membership fit for you. 100% satisfaction guarantee. Then our fishermen in Southeast Alaska catch your share, fillet, and blast freeze with care and send them to your front door, all with delicious recipes. It's that simple. Enroll now at sitkasalmonshares.com and use code AM950 for $25 off.
Better Futures Minnesota is a social enterprise which helps men achieve self-sufficiency and a better future for themselves and their communities. We need your help. By donating time or funds to our cause, you can support us and promote a healthier environment. By hiring our deconstruction crews for your next residential or commercial project and shopping or donating building materials or appliances to our reuse retail warehouse, you are supporting Better Futures Minnesota and your community. Please visit BetterFuturesMinnesota.com to learn more.
I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We're listening to Ross Perot's official campaign music. Brett pulled this up. It's a Willie Nelson track. What's it called, Brett?
Crazy, and apparently he danced with his wife to this at one of his rallies.
Crazy. Well, Ross Perot, he certainly was a crazy guy. Very unique figure. He died this afternoon at 89 years old in Texas due to leukemia. And we've been talking about his 92 presidential run, as well as the man himself, as just a very odd figure in American politics. Someone who was able to defy the two-party system and really cause a stir, unlike anyone since. Ross Perot went on to found the Reform Party, which led to our governor, Jesse Ventura, being elected as a third-party governor. Kind of a similar vein of pulling from both the right and left. The Reform Party ultimately disbanded and never could quite get an ideology or a specific central focus of ideas down, because they were a collection of people who were just not Democrats or Republicans. But yes, we talked about Ross Perot and his use of the media and his focus on NAFTA and the deficit. And a lot of people have compared the Ross Perot movement and the Tea Party, because, I mean, similar vein, the deficit is a central focus in both, the Tea Party especially, which kind of veered off into something different. But how similar are the Tea Party and Perot movements? And really, they're inherently different by the amount that the Ross Perot movement was able to pull from both the Democrats and Republicans, where the Tea Party is simply a hatred of Democrats. Perot, they hated both Democrats and Republicans. So though the deficit was a central focus, it was more of a liberal social factor in the Perot people, and more of just a reaction to what people felt was an economic threat of NAFTA, as well as the deficit and how that would affect America. Less of an ideology behind it, where the Tea Party is, they're all about principles and economic regression, I would say. But let's go to the phones. We're taking calls about Ross Perot, your thoughts, feelings, memories of the man. Phone number is 952-946-6205. But let's go to Mark and Fridley. Mark, it's always a pleasure.
Great, and I'm glad you're talking about this because, you know, we as a people, this two-party co-opted, corrupted duopoly has to end, and he was a significant force. But you can go back to Teddy Roosevelt and the Bull Moose Party. There's always been attempts, and if you really want to get on the bad side of the deep state and the establishment for both parties, start talking about how you want to withdraw the United States from military bases overseas, illegal wars. That was another thing he wanted to do. See, everything he wanted to do made sense, which made him a champion for the people, but an enemy of the establishment. And as a result of his success, I've said this before, when the Democrat Party and the Republican Party agree on the same thing, that's when you really have to be paying attention. Because after that specific election, the debates that we all watched, where we could hear him say, "You hear that sucking sound? That's the, you know, jobs moving to Mexico and Central and South America," and everything else he said was making sense. But the debates were run forever by the League of Women Voters. The League of Women Voters oversaw the presidential debates. As soon as Russ Perot was the first candidate to qualify for federal campaign financing, because he qualified with the amount of people that were supporting him. So all of a sudden, he had access to free taxpayer money, just like the Democrat Party did and the Republican Party did. So what they did was they stripped the League of Women Voters, took the debate process out of their hands, and formed a two-person Democrat-Republican debate committee. Now, to me, that doesn't sound anything like free speech or freedom of association. That sounds like the system is rigged. And so when we look for what Ross Perot was trying to do, it would have taken us out of foreign wars. It would have been more about peace and prosperity than arms sales. It would have been about, you know, adequate regulation for the banking industry and responsibility. It would have been national health care. And so, you know, we have to look at broadening the horizon between a two-party, corporately owned duopoly owned by the same people.
Well, thank you for the call, Mark. That was very interesting. I didn't know that about the change of debate structure and who runs it and the rules and who's allowed. That's very interesting. And I agree that though Ross Perot, I probably don't agree with his policy on everything as much as other candidates, but had he won the presidency, that could have been a phenomenal thing for the country and just opening up the possibility for third parties or just independent ideas. So I think that he is a significant person and that I have a respect from where he was coming from. I feel he was authentic, sincere, that he actually cared and was so not a part of the current political problem we have with corporate influence, lobbyists, and just corruption in Washington. So I do agree with your sentiments there.
I don't know, though, if he would have really gotten the ball rolling on third parties, though, because I think you got to look at Minnesota and what happened with Jesse Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
Third parties are pretty much dead in this state because in 2002, if he had ran for re-election, he would have had no chance. I think both parties would have rallied against him in 1996
yeah.
if he had won in 92.
Well, I
think it's a system that needs to be reformed. I think it
yes,
would have been an aberration
course,
if he had won. Yeah.
I mean, with Jesse, I would say, though, a big reason why the momentum of third parties died here was Jesse abandoned just both his party and the governorship after one term. He just kind of left. So he wasn't a figurehead at all for a movement. He kind of abandoned the post. So it's hard to build when you have someone act that way. I mean, renegade spirit, he was renegade. A maverick, he went out on his own, rode off into the sunset. But I do feel that Ross Perot potentially could have changed things for the better for independent ideas like that. Of course, there's structural problems, but a third-party presidency for potentially 4-8 years in the 90s, it could have gone a long ways. And think of what's happened since then. I mean, you've got Citizens United. I mean, you have the 2000 Bush election and how they were able to bring that to the Supreme Court and decide that politics has been influenced negatively since this time and that potentially, things could have been a bit better in that regard. Let's go to Gary in Minneapolis. He's not a fan of Ross Perot. Gary?
Well, it so much that. It's just that he was a lifetime Republican, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. He had a fallout with Bush, and he put Clinton in. Also, Clinton didn't campaign for NAFTA. He said he was for fair trade. I didn't like that either. But Harkin, he was with Wellstone's best ally. They were against these trade deals. But Harkin didn't get nowhere. Clinton had the money or the personality to be caught on. So, anyways, Clinton said he's going to be for fair trade and protect the workers. He didn't do it. He signed Bush's NAFTA. So that was after he got in. So, but the thing with me was, Bush says on taxes, he didn't say anything about taxing the wealthy. He's going to have a town mm-hmm. meeting discuss it. Clinton said he's at least going to get it up to close to 40%, and that's what big to me. And it should be about 70%, and they pay about 50% when it's 70%. But, you know, in hindsight, you never know what these guys are going to do anyways and what they're going to get through Congress.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for the call, Gary. And, yeah, those are some good points. What's interesting is the website on the issues. Have you ever visited that website, Brett, where it tells you candidates specifically and where they feel on certain issues and then their, like, ideology score?
I feel like I've visited websites like that, maybe just not that very one.
Yeah. So it has Ross Perot, like it has just all these issues and where he stands on it, and then it gives him a rating. And his rating is a moderate liberal, but definitely on the left end of the spectrum, right in about, like, in between far left and center. So that's interesting. I mean, his reputation is of one of Republican and pulling votes away from the Republicans. But really, kind of a classical liberal.
You think a
pre-FDR liberal.
You think he would be almost closer to a libertarian instead of a Republican or a Democrat? I mean,
no.
I know he didn't go full libertarian, but
I don't, because of the way that he taxing the wealthy, a lot of use of government, where libertarians they want to abandon as much of government as they can. He's very pro using government in certain specific ways, though there's the like deficit issue that is like front and center, not in the same way that libertarians or Tea Party Republicans treat it. Definitely sees the government as a force of good and to be used to accomplish your goals. What's interesting, too, is I was actually going to plan on going over Andrew Yang and universal basic income and the left's critiques of Andrew Yang today, but then with the Ross Perot news, I decided to go down this path, but I think I'll get to Yang tomorrow, but kind of similar people, oh, yeah. Where it's that not left, not right, forward, that's Yang's slogan. Very similar personalities, I noticed when preparing for this, or just visions of the country. So tomorrow we might take a little look at Yang, because he's getting a lot of criticism from progressive circles, like Sam Cedar, the Majority Report, a lot of just criticism of Yang, as well as support from the right and libertarians, and kind of a odd thing to be seeing a Democratic candidate receive so much of its support from the right wing. So we'll look at that phenomenon tomorrow. But let's take a break, and we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Jeff Warner for Warner Stellion, Minnesota's original appliance specialist. We've been guaranteeing the lowest price on appliances for 70 years. We appreciate the opportunity to earn your trust. We will deliver and install your new appliances as only specialists can. Now, for a very limited time, Warner Stellion saves you even more on appliances with unbeatable discounts, plus trusted, fast, and free services, including delivery, haul away, and 18 months no-interest financing. Visit your nearest Warner Stellion or shop online at warnerstellion.com today.
Here's six great reasons to join Sick of Salmon Shares. Truly wild, hook and line caught Alaskan fish the way it was meant to be. Community focused, producer owned by our Alaskan fishing families. Exceptional quality, sashimi grade artisan caught fish. Sustainable and traceable, back to the exact boat and fisherman who caught it. convenient and affordable. Delivered directly to your home with delicious recipes and a variety of membership levels, all 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Learn more at sitkasalmonshares.com and use code AM950 when you join.
Tap, taste, and treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having its annual store-wide sale. For the entire month of July, all of our indoor and outdoor fireplace products and accessories are at their lowest price of the year. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we display, explain, and install the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of indoor and outdoor stoves and fireplaces, including metal and masonry pizza ovens.
I love my wood stove. We enjoy the sense of well-being we get by cutting and splitting wood to warm our home. Wood is our choice, but you may have other choices at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether transforming an existing fireplace or adding something new, a clean-burning wood, gas, or electric fire can have you sitting pretty and cozy by the fire. Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Come see us. We have over 35 working displays in our store, which is just off I-94 at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, since 1977, out of the ordinary products and services to make fire work for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having its end.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes. Let me tell you something, Team Randy is so happy to be joining the great lineup of Progressive Voices right here on 950 AM. Tune in at 8 o'clock right here on your AM dial.
Jeff Warner for Warner Stellion, Minnesota's original appliance specialist. We've been guaranteeing the lowest price on appliances for 70 years. We appreciate the opportunity to earn your trust. We will deliver and install your new appliances as only specialists can. Now for a very limited time, Warner Stellion saves you even more on appliances with unbeatable discounts. Plus trusted, fast, and free services, including delivery, haul away, and 18 months no-interest financing. Visit your nearest Warner Stellion or shop online at warnerstellion.com today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for showers and storms tonight with a low around 67. Wednesday, a chance for rain with a high near 77. Thursday, sunny with a high around 80. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high near 87.
Total Dog Company is perfect for you and your dog as they carefully select products, with many of them made right here in the Midwest. Their food products are researched to ensure only the ones with the best ingredients will be on their shelves. They're located conveniently off 169 and 36th Avenue in New Hope. Learn more at TotalDogCompany.com.
This is Reverend Jack from Minneapolis, and you are listening to the Repartee here on AM 950. Hey, you guys are awesome. I love you. Repartee, yo. Peace.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And we've been talking about Ross Perot, who died today at 89 years old. And a very odd figure in American politics. We've been taking calls on your memories of Ross Perot, your thoughts, your feelings. How did you remember the man? Give us a call at 952-946-6205. Love to hear from you. But yes, I actually, before we took a break, was talking about that spectrum, the ideology of Ross Perot and where he ranked on it. And what's interesting is I just compared Ross Perot and Bill Clinton, and they have virtually identical ideology scores on this spectrum. They're on the left-right divide, the exact same place. The only thing was a tick towards the libertarian direction for Ross Perot, but otherwise identical spots on the spectrum, which is interesting. Very odd race that 92 race was, because this was the first time that a new Democrat ran for office, with Bill Clinton being the governor of Arkansas and presenting this new ideology for the Democratic Party, exiting the New Deal Democrats of Roosevelt and now focusing on this New Deal Southern Democratic strategy, along with his running mate Al Gore, which was a more conservative view of the Democratic Party, a tougher on crime, having more traditional stances on social issues, and just a more right-wing Democratic philosophy that we hadn't seen in the party in the decades leading up to this. So you have Clinton as a new Democrat. You have Bush as a four-year president running for re-election, who is very unpopular in his party in 1992 for backtracking on his pledge of no new taxes. So a lot of conservatives are upset about that, and it's just the ripe condition for a third party and a very interesting run by Ross Perot. As we said, he gained virtually equal support from Democrats and Republicans, and probably pulled a lot from that pool of people who don't usually vote as well, which I think is the most important block of people to try and pick up as a candidate for president. Go for the pool of over half the country that doesn't currently vote, rather than trying to pick off the other party's voters. I've always thought that, and it's ridiculous that we continue to make the same mistake on the Democratic side, where we try and pick off Republican voters that just aren't there.
We spend 100 hours of work trying to get one guy to vote for us. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
I know, and compromise everything we care about. And then, if elected, we're approaching from a compromise. And then we have to compromise the compromise. And it just gets further and further from what we believe. It's a very frustrating approach. But we've been taking calls about Ross Perot. Give us a call at 952-946-6205. Let's go to Bill in St. Paul, who has some feelings about Ross Perot. Bill, it's good to have you on.
Thank you. I enjoy the repartee. My point would be, I remember the era of Ross Perot, but I've always been really leery of billionaires. And my question would be, you know, he made all these promises like closing the military bases, which to me sounds fantastic. But how do we really know if he was elected if he wouldn't have pulled a Trump and just backed away from that and gone with the 1% like all billionaires like to do? Your turn. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the call, Bill. And the comparison to Trump is fair. Fellow billionaire talking about similar issues. I mean, Ross Perot's focus, NAFTA. Trump's focus, illegal immigration. But coming from the same place of how it affects the American workforce and really what is good for Americans. Trump's rhetoric was all about, like, working class American issues, trying to resonate with just your common folk. And, I mean, he was successful in it. But how do we know that Ross Perot would have gone through with what he promised if he was elected? I would say that Ross Perot is different from Trump in this. His candidacy was less about him and more about the issues that he brought forward than Trump's, where Trump I see as someone who only is running to feed his ego. There's a lot of rumors of why did Trump ever get into the race in the first place, and speculation that it was just to get back at NBC and renegotiate his Apprentice deal. Potentially, I see that as a real possibility. Brett, why do you think Trump ran for office?
I think you hit the nail on the head right there was TV networks, not so much NBC. Uh-huh. I for sure think his dream would have been to be the runner-up to the Republican nomination so he could start his own network and compete against Fox News. That's ultimately what I think he wanted.
Yeah, so I feel like how we would know that Ross Perot would follow through is I just believe that between him and Trump, they're approaching from much different places. I mean, Ross Perot often gets categorized as a single issue candidate. Like when political scientists examine the race, that he doesn't quite even fit into the third party candidate, more of an issue candidate. And the sincerity behind that just seems so real by how he would be buying TV spots, making those handmade charts. Those were a big thing that he did, was have little graphs that he brought on TV. And Hillary Clinton made fun of it recently. I believe when she was running, she said the only thing she remembers are those charts. But I just believe the sincerity and authenticity were there in Ross Perot, that he cared. And that's the only thing I have to go by that he would follow through. Trump is just extremely vain, and I don't think Trump ever expected to win the presidency. I don't think he was playing to win, and that's why we've seen kind of this inept governing, is he didn't have an idea of what he'd do once he got there. So that's how he's been running the show since. But give us a call if you got feelings, 952-946-6205. I just got about 2 minutes left. We'll try and get you in quickly. But Ross Perot, I still cannot think of a personality that could fit the mold that Ross Perot did of appealing to both Democrats and Republicans in today's climate.
How about this name? The only one I could think of. It's not a good example. Howard Schultz.
Not
as
quite.
I said, not a good one, but he's the only name I could maybe
think. I see what you're saying, though, yeah. How he fits in, like, because he's kind of running as a right-wing Democrat, I guess. Latte-sipping liberal. Protecting the rich guys.
I got one more name. This is on the more goofy side, but he's rumored to run for a while. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
That's the way I think you have to approach it. The Rock, Oprah, one of those type of people. But the thing is, Republicans love Trump. Like, he's one of their most beloved presidents of all time. Like, just polls showing the American public and their approval of the president. Trump is extremely popular with Republicans right now, unlike any other president, more than Reagan, more than anyone. But that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed our Ross Perot special. That's it for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. I'll be back here tomorrow with Eric. We will see you later.